Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Her Favorite Rebound by Jackie Lau, narrated by Emily Wu Zeller. Chapter 1. Sierra Wu was a mess. This wasn't new, however, since she could never seem to do things quite right. The disapproving looks of her mother and grandmother were a testament to this fact. She checked her jacket to see if a pigeon had pooped on it, like that infamous day 3 years ago. But there was no bird poop, nor was there any lipstick on her cheek like last time, when she'd shown up late thanks to the TTC. Today she'd allowed herself tons of time for transit issues, so of course there hadn't been any, and she'd arrived early for dim sum. Yet her family was still unhappy with her. Story of her life. Popo, the matriarch of the family, radiated more disapproval than usual. An impressive feat. 92 years old and several inches shorter than Sierra's 5'2", she could strike fear into the heart of anyone. Sierra couldn't help envying her friend Nicole, whose Popo made TikTok videos and teased her in a loving way and didn't think she was a complete failure. Sierra's grandmother was nothing like that. She probably had the same complaints as usual. Sierra was divorced and childless, and she didn't have a proper career. Sierra had tried. Oh, she'd tried so hard to be an engineer like her brother. But she'd been very bad at it, and it had made her miserable. She now had a cute little greeting card store in Baldwin Village, which suited her much better. Auntie Marlene and Cousin Rachel, her family in tow, arrived as Sierra took a seat beside her grandfather. "Hi, Gong Gong," she said. "How are you feeling today?"
"Sierra."
He smiled at her, but that was all. She tried to remain upbeat. "Do you like my scarf, Gong Gong?" She held it up. "Red. Very lucky, right?" His hand shook as he reached out to touch it.
"It's pretty."
She didn't ask about his week. He'd get confused, unfortunately. And while some elderly people might enjoy talking about their past, her grandparents never had. They were one of those immigrant families that kept the past a secret. Instead, she took out her phone and showed her grandfather something she'd drawn recently. Gong Gong had always been supportive of her artistic interests. Sure, he'd wanted her to do well in school, but he'd also bought her paints and pastels, good ones, and praised her artwork. "Ayya, what are you doing?" Ma asked. Sierra couldn't help feeling defensive, as she often did around her mother. "He likes when I show him my work." Indeed, Gong Gong swiped his finger across the screen of her phone and looked momentarily confused when a new picture showed up. It was an illustration she'd done of Toronto in the wintertime, a red streetcar in the forefront.
"It's nice,"
he said. An ear-piercing scream rang through the noisy restaurant. Sierra's brother Lincoln and his family must have arrived. His baby girl had a huge set of lungs, and his sons, who were 4 and 6, were just as loud. Once everyone was seated, sort of, Lincoln's kids were struggling with the concept, whereas Rachel's sat like obedient angels, and Popo placed the order, Auntie Marlene started bragging about Rachel, and Ma started bragging about Lincoln, and Sierra finally noticed that her father wasn't here today. Good for him for getting out of this, she supposed. Sierra would never be allowed to do a thing like that, even though she had a job that actually required her to work on the weekends. But she'd hired someone who worked Sundays and occasional Saturdays, like today, so she could trek out to Scarborough to see her family. It was dim sum. She ought to look forward to it. Except, "He did such a good job," Ma said. "My light works perfectly now." Lincoln grinned as if Ma were talking about him doing something impressive, rather than changing a light bulb. Not surprisingly, Auntie Marlene called Ma out.
"You're bragging about him changing a light bulb?"
"He left work early to do it."
"Well," Auntie Marlene said, "Rachel is too important to leave work early."
Whereas Lincoln enjoyed praise, no matter what it was for, Rachel always looked vaguely uncomfortable with it. She and Sierra had never been close, but Sierra didn't mind her cousin, even if she made Sierra look bad in comparison. Rachel was a doctor, married to a doctor, and they had 3 kids.
"What happened to your hand?"
Auntie Marlene asked Sierra. She looked down at her left hand.
I got a bad paper cut at work yesterday.
You're still working at that card store?
Yes, I own it.
Auntie Marlene looked at Ma and raised her nose in the air. Sierra clearly wasn't as good of a daughter as Rachel, and Ma glared at Sierra for making her look bad. As usual.
"You got a really bad paper cut?" Ma asked, as though only Sierra could do something so foolish.
But if it had happened to Lincoln, Ma would have said,
"You poor baby."
Then she would have hunted down the offending piece of paper and ripped it to shreds. And if Sierra had changed Ma's light bulb, Ma would have told her that she did it wrong or complained that Sierra was too short and needed to go on a higher rung of the stepladder than Lincoln. There was no way to win. Sierra couldn't wait until tonight, when she'd be free of all this judgment. The hog owl arrived, and she placed 2 on her grandfather's plate. Shrimp dumplings were his favorite, before helping herself. Sierra's mom turned to her, about to offer a criticism, no doubt, but Sierra was saved by one of Lincoln's boys throwing a dumpling across the table and hitting Pawpaw in the shoulder. Sierra's eyes widened in shock, and Pawpaw glared at her great-grandchild, who immediately burst into tears.
"Rachel," Auntie Marlene hissed, "you're the doctor. Make sure she's okay."
Pawpaw, who presumably didn't want to be fussed over, sent Auntie Marlene a stern look.
"Ma, please let her check."
However, Auntie Marlene backed down as Pawpaw's look grew even sterner. The water chestnut cake and turnip cake came next, and Sierra busied herself with serving her grandfather. He thanked her and said,
"Where is your husband today?"
Her heart sank. He'd apparently forgotten that she hadn't had a husband in years. Seeing him suffer from dementia was tough. Should she make excuses for her ex not being here? Or mention her divorce? "He's working," she murmured. They'd been speaking quietly, but Ma still heard.
"You need to find a husband soon," she said, clucking her tongue. "You're getting wrinkles around your eyes, looking old."
Yet some people still thought Sierra looked very, very young. So young that she got carded at the liquor store, even though she was 34 and the drinking age was 19.
"You should ask Rachel about her skincare routine," Auntie Marlene said. "She has perfect skin, doesn't she? And she's 5 years older than you."
"Wah, Rachel's skin isn't perfect."
Ma did occasionally leap to Sierra's defense when Auntie Marlene sang Rachel's praises, though in private, Ma would compare Sierra unfavorably to her older cousin. Yeah, Sierra couldn't wait until her date tonight. A quiet dinner at a French bistro, a movie, and they'd have the theater all to themselves because her rich boyfriend could afford shit like that. Her family didn't know about her boyfriend, even though she'd been dating Colton for over a year. It was a pain to tell her family stuff like that, but she'd tell them eventually, when she really, really needed to improve their opinion of her.
"If only your ex-husband didn't turn out to be gay."
Auntie Marlene reached across the table to pat Sierra's hand.
"At least he had a good reason to divorce her," Ma shot back. "Sierra didn't do anything wrong. But you are different. Your ex-husband."
"Justin isn't gay," Sierra said. "He's bisexual."
No matter how many times she explained it, it never seemed to make it through their heads.
"I knew that when we started dating. Sometimes things don't work out. That's all."
"But he has a husband now," Ma protested.
"He's bi, like I said, and his husband had nothing to do with our separation. They didn't meet until later."
Her mother couldn't stand the fact that she was divorced,
But Sierra would much rather be divorced than married to someone like Rachel's husband, for example. The man might be a doctor, but from what Sierra could tell, he was a lousy father and husband. Instead, she had a nice ex-husband. They were better off as friends, and she hadn't been heartbroken when her marriage had ended. Disappointed, yes, but relieved at the same time.
"Are you still hung up on him?"
Auntie Marlene asked with fake kindness. "No." Sierra managed to restrain herself from stabbing her hagaw with her chopstick.
"But still no boyfriend?"
"I know what you need, Sierra," Ma said. "A makeover."
"Ah, you're right. That's exactly what she needs,"
Auntie Marlene said. Rachel shot Sierra a sympathetic look. Sierra was more than a little alarmed at this makeover plan. First of all, her mother and aunt were agreeing, which was nearly unprecedented. Would Auntie Marlene make Sierra look hideous so Rachel would continue to be the superior daughter? Sierra wouldn't put sabotage past Auntie Marlene, though it did seem somewhat unlikely. No, her aunt and mom might genuinely try to help, which was also scary. Their sense of fashion was, well, the opposite of Sierra's. Popo nodded. She could use a makeover. Oh no, her grandmother thought she needed a makeover? Popo's approval of this plan meant it would almost certainly happen.
There is nothing wrong with Sierra's appearance, Rachel said.
Auntie Marlene seemed horrified that her daughter was disagreeing with her elders. This was why it was impossible to hate Rachel. She took breaks from being perfect to stick up for Sierra, which made her even more perfect. Ma ignored Rachel. I will get you an appointment with my hairstylist next Saturday, she said to Sierra. Ma, I have to work. You're trying to get out of this, but I won't let you. Your auntie and I will come down to your store, she said this with disdain, and drag you out. Lincoln was laughing. Bastard. Sierra's brain suddenly conjured up an image of her dressed like her aunt, with a weird perm and fake brand name clothes and... Yep, Sierra needed to bring out the big guns. It was time. I don't need a makeover to find a man, she said. I already have a boyfriend. Ma seemed hopeful. Auntie Marlene looked skeptical. Popo continued looking stern. Sierra was actually excited to see the look on her family's faces, particularly her mother's. I'm dating Colton Sanders. The Colton Sanders? Ma asked, much like how Sierra's friends had reacted. Yep, I assume you've heard of him. Sierra smiled as her mom's mouth dropped open. Isn't he a billionaire? That's right. I'm dating a billionaire.
Wah! Sierra! Auntie Marlene said. I thought you were better than this. Making up outrageous lies?
Sierra pulled out her phone and passed around a photo of her and Colton together.
Did you Photoshop this? Auntie Marlene asked. It doesn't look like your body.
Yes, it does, Ma said.
Her boobs look too big.
Flip to the next photo, Sierra said, ignoring the conversation about her boob size. Do you really think I photoshopped multiple photos of me and Colton Sanders? I can call him right now if you like. She hoped her auntie wouldn't take her up on that. Colton was likely busy and didn't want to be disturbed. Is it true he owns a private jet? An island in the Caribbean? Ma asked excitedly. It's been such a long winter. I could really use a holiday. See, this was why Sierra had waited to tell her family about Colton. She'd even asked him to ensure no pictures of them together ended up in the press. He said he'd take care of it, and he had.
Calm down, Ma.
Lincoln was sulking. Well, he got praise for changing a light bulb. And if Sierra had a kid who'd thrown a dumpling at her grandmother, she would have been in deep shit, which Lincoln had been spared, even though he put zero effort into parenting. He left it all to his wife, who currently had her hands full with a fussy baby.
Yes, Colton does own an island, Sierra said. I haven't been there. Yet.
I still don't understand how you're dating a billionaire, Auntie Marlene said. You have wrinkles around your eyes, as your mother said. Surely a man like Colton Sanders could get anyone he wanted.
Trust family to make her feel bad. But Sierra expected her mother would stick up for her now, and she wasn't disappointed.
Wah, I was exaggerating, Ma said. I told Sierra she would have wrinkles around her eyes if she wasn't careful, but she looks good now, and I'm sure Colton Sanders can afford all the nice facial masks for her.
Ma looked at Sierra with pride, because she happened to be dating a rich white guy. Once again, Sierra turned her thoughts to her upcoming date. For dinner, at her request, they weren't going to have a private room. Colton had a tendency to rent out the entire restaurant, but that wasn't something she needed regularly, as she'd told him, slightly embarrassed by the frivolousness of it all. But when he'd suggested renting out the small VIP theater, she hadn't protested. Getting him to change his mind on the restaurant was enough. Besides, the movie was a special occasion. It was her movie. Well, she had the same name as the main character. That was all. Unfortunately, since the book series had begun several years ago, it had become a big hit, and people were always making comments about it to her. As she'd told her friend Amy, it was like being named Bridget Jones or Alice in Wonderland. The first time she'd heard of the urban fantasy series, it had been a funny coincidence. But by the time the second book hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list, she was sick of it. In the past couple of years, she'd tried to embrace it and laugh about it because what else could she do? The fictional Sierra Wu wasn't a mess. She wasn't divorced, nor did she own a greeting card shop, nor did she ever get pigeon poop on her jacket or lipstick on her cheek. Blood, perhaps, from the demons she slayed, but never lipstick or pigeon poop. She kicked ass and had saved the world on more than one occasion. Sierra Wu, the real person, sure hoped the fate of the world never rested on her shoulders. She was certain she'd fail. Though right now, for once, nobody was calling her a failure. But Sierra couldn't fully enjoy it. First of all, because the questions from her family would never stop, and second of all, because it wasn't really about her.
Of course it is, Ma said.
Oh, shit. Sierra realized in horror that she'd spoken out loud.
It is about you, Ma said. To catch a man like him, you must be very beautiful and talented, which you are.
Yep. Now Ma was calling her beautiful and talented, when she would have laughed at those words being applied to her daughter not 10 minutes ago. Sierra tried not to roll her eyes and busied herself with pouring more tea for her grandfather. When she gestured to the steamer with the hog owl, he nodded, and she placed one on his plate.
Ay-ya, Auntie Marlene said. He shouldn't have so much salt.
Dim sum was a terrible choice for someone watching their salt intake. But also, Gong Gong could eat whatever the hell he wanted. If Sierra made it to 94, she wouldn't hold herself back from an extra dumpling. Nor would she now, for that matter. She picked one up with her chopsticks and stuck it straight in her mouth. Gong Gong nodded at her approvingly. She wasn't sure he'd caught the whole Sierra is dating a billionaire part of the conversation, but that was fine. Unlike certain members of her family, he'd never been chronically disappointed in her, even if he might be a bit hazy on the details of her life now. So when one of Lincoln's demon children launched some siumai across the table, toward Gong Gong, Sierra's reflexes sprang into action. She not only managed to prevent the siumai from hitting her grandfather, no, she caught it in her hand. Unfortunately, because she was still a bit of a mess, she also managed to dip her sleeve in the dish of chili sauce and mustard.
No way would this have happened to Rachel.
Yeah, sometimes life wasn't fair.
but at least Sierra was looking forward to this evening.
How was dim sum?
Colton asked. Sierra looked up from her menu. I told my family about you. She surreptitiously adjusted her navy dress, regretting her uncomfortable outfit choice even though she looked pretty hot. She'd allowed her boyfriend to cover the cost of a personal shopper and several new outfits that were fancy enough for their dates.
Yeah,
he said.
How'd that go?
He didn't look nervous about her family's opinion of him. When you were a man like Colton, the world bowed down to you. He came from a wealthy family. The 1% of the 1%. Sierra's family was upper middle class. Her parents had paid her university tuition, and she'd grown up with advantages. But not ones like Colton had. He graced her with the cocky smile of a man who moved smoothly through life, and she returned his smile. Colton Sanders was 6 feet tall. He claimed he was 6'2", but had once confessed to her that was a lie. He had perfectly tousled brown hair that looked good even when he'd just rolled out of bed. Totally unfair. His eyes were almost shocking in their blueness, and his abs were rock hard. How? She had no idea, but they were perfect, though she'd once drunkenly admitted to Nicole that it made him less comfortable to cuddle. Yep, Colton was a rich, good-looking man, and he'd picked her. He was the first boyfriend who'd truly made her feel special. Something her parents never did, that was for sure. She leaned forward, but before she touched his hand, his phone buzzed.
Shit, he muttered. I have to take this.
He stood up and walked toward the washrooms. This was one of the downsides of dating Colton Sanders. Sure, he had lots of people to do things for him, but there were many things he liked to oversee himself. Sierra read over the menu and tried to figure out what to get. She was still training herself not to care about price when Colton was paying. He was a billionaire, so she shouldn't feel guilty for a $40 main course. But old habits died hard. After all, Sierra didn't make a lot of money herself, and she did have to worry about cost in the rest of her life. Colton would have been happy to help her out more, but she refused, and he found this admirable and quirky, or something like that. Yes, she didn't come from his world, and occasionally she was confused as to why he was with her, but he was always quick with his reassurances. By the time she decided on the pan-seared scallops with warm lentil salad, Colton still hadn't returned. That was okay, though. She could handle being left alone at a restaurant table for 15 minutes because her boyfriend was on the phone. She gazed out the window and sipped her wine as she tried to push aside the odd discontent in her heart. Chapter 2. Jake Tong didn't believe in love at first sight. Not until it happened to him. It was a cold February evening when he arrived at the restaurant in downtown Toronto. He was treating Louis, who'd recently gotten his dream job, to dinner. Jake didn't pretend to understand why working for this particular company was Louis's dream job as an environmental engineer, but he was trying with his brother these days. He really was. So when Mom had mentioned Louis's career success, of course Jake hadn't heard it from his brother directly, he'd texted Louis, suggesting they do something to celebrate. To his surprise, Louis had agreed. Jake knew he appeared calm as he was shown to his table, but inside, he was a teeny tiny bit nervous. Louis and Victoria hadn't arrived yet. Although Jake used to practically live in suits, he wasn't accustomed to wearing them now. He wiggled his shoulders, trying to get comfortable, then decided to drape his jacket over the back of his chair. He also rolled up his sleeves before picking up the menu. If he remembered correctly, the lamb was quite good here, and... Oh. Oh. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed an East Asian woman sitting alone at a table, resting her chin on her hand. And then he had a ludicrous thought.
That's the woman I'm going to marry.
He shook his head,
Why was he thinking such a thing? He didn't even know her. Yet the thought persisted. It wasn't merely lust. Lust at first sight was something with which he was intimately familiar. He'd been attracted to many, many women over the years. Slept with a good number, too, back in the days when... Well, he tried not to think about that part of his life. This woman was beautiful, definitely. He could only see her side profile, but she had a hint of a smile on her face as her gaze dropped to the menu, and that slight smile was nearly enough to take his breath away. Long black hair, elegantly pulled back. When she ran her thumb up the stem of her wine glass, he was already imagining her touching his skin instead. He figured she was about his age, maybe a few years younger. He couldn't explain it, but there was just something about her, and he knew. His heart pounded as he looked at her, yearned from afar. It was her. It had always been her. He swallowed some water and prepared to go over. If you were in love with a woman, it was only sensible to actually talk to her, even if nothing else about this was sensible. But somehow, this feeling seemed to transcend time and space and knowing the other person's name and occupation. Just as he was about to stand, a white man approached her table and kissed her cheek before taking the seat across from her. A chill passed through Jake's body. This woman appeared to be on a date. That was bad enough. But the man she was with? Colton Sanders. Jake's archenemy. It was doubtful the feeling was mutual. Colton probably didn't think about Jake enough these days to consider him an enemy. Probably didn't give him much thought at all. There was, however, a silver lining. This would make it easy for Jake to get an introduction. He stood up and walked to the table where Colton and his date were seated. "Hello, Colton," Jake said, pleased with himself for not adding, "You absolute fucking bastard." "It's been a while." Colton got to his feet. Standing, he was 4 inches taller than Jake.
"Hey!"
Colton gave him a slap on the back, as though they were old friends. Which they were.
"How have you been?"
Colton asked, putting on a bit of a show, as he always did. It took Jake a moment to answer because he was looking at Colton's date, now that he was only a few feet away. She had big, dark eyes, and she wore a sparkling navy dress that showed off her shoulders. Jake said.
"I've been fine."
He'd spent much of the past 2 years alone in his house near the Danforth, unsure what to do with his life, but he was fine.
"Aren't you going to introduce me to your lovely date?" "Of course,"
Colton smiled.
"This is Sierra Wu, my girlfriend."
Jake almost sputtered. Colton had an actual girlfriend? Rather than banging everything that caught his fancy? Well, he was probably still doing that, too. Colton seemed to enjoy Jake's shock. Jake glanced down and ran her name over and over in his mind. Sierra, Sierra, Sierra. It was pretty. And her last name, oh, she had the same name as the character in that new movie. He didn't comment on it, since she was probably sick of hearing about it.
"A pleasure to meet you, Sierra," he said.
He almost let out an unhinged laugh, feeling like someone was playing a trick on him. The one time he'd fallen in love instantly, and she was already in a relationship. With his enemy. Jake knew he had to warn Sierra away from Colton. There was no way Colton could be a good boyfriend, and given Colton's past behavior, the fact that she was Asian made Jake even more uncomfortable. Her name. Was that why Colton was dating her? For the novelty of that? Jake returned to his table and didn't even bother trying to read the menu. It was taking all his effort not to stare at Sierra and Colton. When she went to the washroom a few minutes later, he got up again. He might seem like a creep waiting for her in the hallway, but she needed to hear what he had to say. After
Sample complete. Ready to continue?